Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tamika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. How are you this morning? This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host today on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. That's right, where we get to the heart of the matter. And it is another beautiful day in the Lord. I am also the pastor of New Vision for Life Church in Baltimore, Maryland. Tamika, honey, I need you to go ahead and talk. Our guest is calling me on the other line.
All right. Amen. This is your co-host, Minister Tamika Garnes. I'm so excited that I'm feeling much better. And I'm glad the sun is out today. It's supposed to be a little warm today. So I'm looking forward to getting out. I had to stay in the house for 4 days last week, and I was getting cabin fever. But I do thank God that he healed my body. and I know that my immune system was attacked because I'm a little stressed. So I believe that's probably why I got the cold, because normally I don't get sick. I still have a little bit of phlegm and congestion and a cough every now and then. But I do thank God that I am feeling much better. So all praise goes to God, because he is our healer. And that was one of the reasons that he died on the cross. By his stripes, we are healed. No matter what we are facing, by his stripes, we are healed. And we just have to get that in our minds, our hearts, and in our spirit, and know that whatever diagnosis may come up against us, by his stripes, we are healed. Amen. So I want to say good morning to Miss Joyce here in Baltimore. Good morning. We love you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Good morning to Miss Joyce in New York. Thank you for being a Saturday follower. We appreciate you. Good morning to Isaiah, both Isaiahs. Good morning to the Crawfords. Good morning to Prophetess Dorn and Prophetess Kim. Good morning to Michelle. And good morning to everyone that calls in on a weekly basis, on every Saturday. We do appreciate you. We really do appreciate you. So right now, Apostle, are you ready to pray?
Yes, I'm back. Yes, I am ready. Okay. Thank you so much for asking. So yes,
you're welcome.
And thank you, beloved. So we're going to go ahead and approach the Lord this morning in prayer, and remember not just to listen to us praying, but you be praying also, because I'm sure there are things each of you have on your heart that you desire to approach the Father about this morning. And since we are, you know, normally your first activity in the morning, many of you may not have had the chance to actually go before him. So this is your time to go before the Father this morning and give him thanks for this day. So let us approach the throne of God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we do thank you, we honor you, we bless you, we magnify your holy name, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, and Lord God, there is none like you. We thank you so much for this day. We thank you, O God, for your love, your grace, and your mercy. God, I thank you that we were on the list of do wake up this morning. Yes, sir, we were on that list, and we do count it a privilege, Lord, to see another day. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to do what you do best. You keep us, you comfort us, you lead us, you guide us, and you teach us. I'm asking you to be with us today on this line. Let every need for every single person on this line be met today. Where there's a need for financial gain or financial our finances to take care of bills, whatever it may be today, Jehovah Jireh, we ask you, our provider, to come forth in the name of Jesus. Where there's healing that needs to be done, we ask Jehovah Rapha, by your spirit, come forth and manifest the healing grace of God. For those that need peace in their home, we ask for Jehovah Shalom, that your peace would be with us always, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I thank you because you are Emmanuel. You are God with us. You are the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega. And Father, first and foremost, now, we approach you as Father today.
I'd like a donut, just a couple of donuts, if they got them.
We call you Abba Father. Lord God, we call you Abba Father because you are our daddy. And we appreciate you, Lord God, like none other. We appreciate you. Now, Father, I ask you to bless our guest today. Be with him as he shares his awesome news with us, Lord God. Father, may the listeners today, may the listeners get information, education, and be able to put what they learned today, Lord God, be able to put it to use, that it would advance them in their lives as they go forth. Lord, we thank you, we honor you, and we bless you. Bless this entire day, for truly this is the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen, 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 amen. I tell you, I am just so grateful for the day. I thank God for it. And as you know, we are still in the month of February, so we're still acknowledging Black History Month. And saints of God, the day is going to come when, as we are studying our history and knowing how important it is for us to know where we came from, praise be unto God, and the things that our ancestors have gone through in order to make it available for us to do the things that we do right now today, that every day that there's a way that we will be celebrating Black History Month, just every day. It won't be Black History Month. We are walking in history. We are part of history. We are the result of history. So I'm just excited about it, and more, you know, as it turns out, as I am getting older, I can't answer for anyone else, but as I am getting older, you know, I am more and more aware of the importance that we played in the history of this country. I'm more and more aware of it, and that was one of the goals that Minister Tamika and I had and have for this month, that we are bringing to your to the forefront of your mind how important we have been in history. And, of course, it's all over the television. It's on every bit of the social media. There's nowhere where you can turn, at least here in America, there's nowhere where you can turn where Black History Month is not being acknowledged and or celebrated in one way, shape, or form. But this morning, we have the honor to have with us this morning Brother James S. Wright. And Brother Wright is an author, and he's written a trilogy. And so that's three. He's written three books on dealing with our African culture and where we've come from to where we are today. And it was such an honor, you know, when I got a call from him, because I had to put out some feelers to find some people that would be willing to share with us, you know, about things that happened with our ancestors, et cetera. I had to put some feelers out. And he got the word that I wanted to talk to somebody that could talk to us. He called me back. I was excited about hearing from him, excited about what he has written, and praise be unto God. This morning, we are truly going to be enlightened. So I would like to take this moment to say good morning to Brother Wright. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Blessed.
Awesome. All right, now. That's good. That's good. You're better than blessed. Praise be unto God. Well, this is Apostle Etta Banks, and my co-host is Minister Tabika Garnes. Tabika, say good morning to our guest, beloved.
Good morning, Mr. Wright. It's a pleasure to have you on our show today. Good morning.
Good morning, sister. Good morning. I'm glad to be here with you beautiful ladies.
Amen. You starting the show off just right, Mr. Wright. Praise be unto God. It makes us feel good to have somebody say beautiful to us at 9:11 a.m. on a Saturday morning.
Okay.
Praise be unto God. Amen. Well, Mr. Wright,
let me first start off by saying that I'm the son of a minister and brother of preachers. My nephew, I have so many preachers in my family that people often ask me how it missed me. And I do speak on occasion. I'm a lay speaker, but I haven't been
mm-hmm.
ordained. Now,
mm-hmm.
I'm quick to tell people that many are called, but few are chosen.
And amen.
If God chooses me, mm-hmm. I will answer. But I appreciate the fact that you have a calling. You are allowing me to be on your show this morning.
Amen. Well, thank you so very much. It is an honor. And I love it when you said, you know, that you have all of these ministers in your family, and these are ordained ministers. But you have also been ordained by God, because the moment
you accepted
your Lord and Savior, He ordained you a minister of God. So
you are
amongst the chosen, okay?
Thank you for that.
Amen. Yes, sir. As long as you are carrying, you know, the good news, the word about our Father and His Son, praise God, as long as you're helping to bring freedom, you know, to the men and women of God through the Word of God and so forth, as long as your life exemplifies Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, sir, you are ordained by the Almighty. So to God be the glory.
Okay.
Amen.
And the next thing I'd like to tell your listening audience is, for the last 22 years, I've been down at Lexington Market doing a Black History program. But as many of your listeners are probably aware, they're remodeling the market. So right as I'm speaking to you today, I'm at Pennsylvania Avenue or Lafayette Market, and I'm doing a book signing as we speak. So there's not a lot of traffic here, so I don't think we're going to be interrupted during this interview, but I'll be here from now until about 5 this evening. So if any of your listeners want to come down to the Avenue Market on Pennsylvania
mm-hmm.
Avenue, right by the subway stop,
right.
They can come on in.
Amen. Praise God. So that's down there by Pennsylvania and North Avenue?
Well, it's not too far off from North. That's correct. It's right at the subway stop. The Pennsylvania Avenue, it's the stop after Pennsylvania, after North Avenue. It's the next stop.
It's the next stop
after North Avenue. Yeah,
but
it is a subway stop. I can see the subway stop from my window.
From the window. Okay. All right. Okay, folks, you heard it. If you're in the neighborhood anytime today before 5 o'clock, please stop by and see Brother James Wright. He's doing a book signing there. Go by, see him, and get your book. And you're going to get a taste this morning about what is in those books. So we're going to get started with that. So let's start with Brother Wright. Could you please tell us, when did you start writing? What was it that ignited this gift within you? Because this is a gift from God.
I started writing my first book in 1990, American Apartheid. And what inspired me was the fact that it was a book called The Lies My Teacher Taught, where we didn't have our history really portrayed correctly in schools. We had history that was basically presented by Europeans. And I'm of the opinion that a white man can no better tell our history than a man can tell a woman how it feels to have a baby.
All right.
Our history needs to be taught in more than one color and more from more than one perspective. Now, I portray history in my book from an African-American perspective. Some of the lies that I refer to is that Columbus did not discover America.
Amen.
Slavery was not a necessity. It was what it was, a tragedy. And the people who enslaved my ancestors were racist. You know, we could have done something far greater. I mean, Europeans came from to this country, and they weren't enslaved. They were given the opportunity to help and work to achieve independence. You know, we fought in the war for independence, and once the war was over, they returned us to slavery. I mean, we should have been freed when the rest of this country gained its independence, but no, we were returned to slavery for another 100 years. So it's those books that we have when I was in school. I don't know, you know, I'm 71, and when I was in elementary school, we never got the understanding of Nat Turner, Marcus Garvey. We never heard about those individuals because the white curriculum wouldn't allow that. We got good Negroes, the good Negroes like George Washington Carver, because he was not a Turner, should have been considered one of the great heroes in American history. But the reason why he's not is because he killed white people. He killed white people to free slaves. John Brown did the same thing, and he was a hero. John Brown did the same thing as Nat Turner. They wrote songs. They made movies about John Brown. And they hated John Brown so that he was and burned. But the same thing happened to Nat Turner. They hung and burned Nat Turner. So we hear about the John Browns, but we don't hear about the Nat Turners. We now are now just coming into making movies about Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman did so many great things. She was one of the smartest individuals that ever came along during that time period. She was able to escape, captured again, escape again, get captured again, escape again. I mean, she was just so intelligent. She outsmarted so many people who thought they were smarter than she was in terms of creating the Underground Railroad. So what I wrote four books. The American Apartheid is a trilogy. And then I wrote, my last book is the black baby boomer, because I'm a black baby boomer. I'm a baby boomer. And when I grew up, again, it was from a white perspective. There were black baby boomers, and I list a lot of them in my book and, you know, kind of catalog who they were and what their accomplishments were as I finish up in my, you know, in my book, what years they were born and how they, the things that they accomplished. So we were part of that. You know, our history is American history. That's why I call it American apartheid. There was, most people are familiar with the term apartheid as it relates to South Africa.
But right.
The apartheid in South Africa didn't start until 1948. The apartheid in America started when we got off the boat.
All right.
When we got off the boat some 400 years ago, they started apartheid. And we are still suffering. You know, they swear that we have equality, but we still haven't gained our equality. Our current administration lets us know that we're not equal. I mean, here's a man who can go on national television and call our African-American football players SOBs on national television. Never in my lifetime have I heard that come from a leader. I don't care whether it was a communist leader, a Russian, you know, Russian leader, a German leader, but to berate our African-American athletes in such a way. We need to know our history. If we don't, it's destined to repeat itself. And that's what I've tried to do in and
now,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead, sir. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No,
I'm
saying that what I've been able to do over the course of almost 25 years is to bring my books to Morgan, Compton, Sojourner Douglas, some high schools, prominent high schools in Maryland and in D.C., and the military, bring what diversity really is, because program on TV the other day, and I saw where they had a white artist who was famous for his black portrait, his portraits of African American history, and you know, we've been exploited. We've been exploited since we came here. Europeans can make money off of us, but we can't make money off of them. You know, we've had a few that have been fortunate. We have the Oprahs, you know, who have been able to become rich and famous. Of course, we have our famous and rich athletes. We have a few famous and rich politicians. I never thought I'd live to see a African-American president. I never thought I'd see that. But since President Obama left office, we've gone backwards. You know, the civil rights movement is dead. We need a leader. We need a We need another Martin Luther King, and I don't know whether we're going to find one anywhere. Martin Luther King was a godsend. Malcolm X, that Malcolm X and Martin were about to unite is when they both were assassinated. That was a conspiracy, but nobody talks about it. There was a young man who was about to unite Malcolm and Martin Luther King, Bayard Rustin. was his name. And he was very familiar with both parties. And when Malcolm X returned from his sojourn to Mecca, he had changed his stance on violence. Because when he first started his movement, it was his theme was by any means necessary. But he changed that, and he and Martin Luther King were going to unite on to start a peaceful movement to gain equality. And they both were assassinated.
Right.
Can you imagine the followers of Malcolm and the followers of Martin Luther King uniting on the same front? Equality would have been ours.
Amen.
We would have had our equality. But, you know, the devil, although he is a liar, he's still alive. He's still alive and well.
Amen.
The devil is still alive and well. And we have to defeat Satan every day. Every day. It's a battle.
Yes.
But the battle is not mine, it's the Lord's. And I leave it to him to defeat Satan. But
amen.
Again, we see there was a saying many, many years ago when I was coming along, and I'm trying my best to dispel that. If you want to hide something from black people, put it in a book. They used to.
Yeah, I heard that before.
Yeah, see, that's something that I'm trying to dispel. Because the majority of my clients, the majority of the people who buy my book are African-American. I deal in the African-American community. That's where I am today.
At
this Lafayette or Pennsylvania Avenue Market, in the heart of black people.
Right,
and,
right.
That's where, you know, I attend a predominantly black church. Matter of fact, I'm a member of St. Mark's United Methodist Church in Hanover and St. Luke's United Methodist in Woodlawn. So I just have never been too far. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, Pastor, that I've been perfect. But I grew up in the church. My grandmother, like they used to say, she drugged me to church. Well, once it caught on. There was a record that Shirley Caesar used to do about somebody playing church. I can relate to that because a lot of times growing up, I used to play church, the Holy Ghost, and got a hold of me, and I stopped playing. It's a fire that's way down deep in my bones. And God has given me the gift to be able to write these books and to be able to communicate about our history. Our story needs to be told by us.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
The troubles that go on.
Let me ask you a question, sir. Forgive me for cutting in on you for a moment. You mentioned that you speak at a lot of schools, you know, the colleges, high school, and so forth. I'm interested in the reception that you get, especially with the younger folks, our millennials. What is the reception? What is their response to the information
that you share? It's amazing because, see, they're not used to seeing someone that looks like them that has written a book, and will come and interact with them. I've gotten into debates in the college classes. I've gotten into debates in the high school. I had the opportunity to go to a high school during the Freddie Gray situation.
Wow.
And the young people, they were angry. They were angry.
Yes.
But
yes.
I tried to explain to them, know your history.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right to be angry, but know your history. There were Freddie Grays long before that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Emmett Till, the Scottsboro Boys, Amadou Diallo in New York. I mean, these were things that went on long before Freddie Gray, and they did not get the kind of attention nationally that the Freddie Gray thing got. The only reason Freddie Gray got so much attention is because of the violence. But violence
mm-hmm.
shouldn't be the way. Peaceful protest. I'm in favor of peaceful protest. I don't mind you getting angry. You need to be angry. But be angry in a positive way. Don't be angry in a negative way. Don't destroy. Don't go. They destroyed their own neighborhoods.
Yes.
Don't destroy
yes.
your neighborhood. Don't destroy your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Don't destroy
mm-hmm.
your neighborhood. You know,
amen.
Peacefully demonstrate. And the other thing that is I see as a negative is that our young people
mm-hmm.
aren't going to church.
Mm-hmm.
I get very discouraged when I don't see young people attending church in numbers.
Yes.
We had a gentleman to come to our church. He came from Africa. And when he stood up and introduced himself, he said, excuse me, but I'm very concerned. Young people. This was a man who had come and just happened to be visiting our church, and he was from Africa. And he stood up and said, where are the young people?
Right.
And nobody could answer him.
Mm-hmm.
Because young people, for some reason, have given up on church. Now,
mm-hmm.
I hope they haven't given up on God, but they've
right.
given up on the church. They don't
mm-hmm.
see the church as the attention getter and the problem solver that church used to be. When I came to church, I was reverent because I realized
mm-hmm.
that the church had power in the community, had power in the school system. But, you know, my pastor, when I was growing up, he coached my baseball team. He substituted in the elementary school. He came to
mm-hmm.
the community where if the brothers were hanging out on the corner, he went in amongst them. He said, if you can hang out here, you can hang out at my church. And he
mm-hmm.
brought them to church. But that's not happening anymore. We don't have community outreach
right.
on the church that we used to have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when if they have crime increasing here and there and everywhere. It's not just limited to Baltimore City. It's everywhere. And back when we were, you know, when I was young, you had ministers patrolling the streets.
That's true.
They would come
that
out
is
in the
very
streets. So I don't know whether it's they've gotten a change because it's more dangerous. I don't know. But
mm-hmm.
we need to know our history. That's why
mm-hmm.
that's why I wrote the books that I wrote, and that's why I'm going to continue to speak on programs like yours and continue to do book signings in areas throughout the school systems, throughout the city, in churches.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever I'm invited to go, I'll be there.
Amen. Amen. All righty. Well, folks, this is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Of course, you all know my co-host is Minister Tabika Garnes, and today we have a guest, Brother James Wright, and he is an author of a trilogy, The American Apartheid, Life on the Backside of the Sports King, and No Land, No Mule, No Freedom. And we are blessed to have him sharing with us today. Remember, if you have any questions or would like to make a statement about what you have heard thus far, press 1 on your keypad, and we will acknowledge the fact that you're there, and we will let you join in live in this interesting conversation. It is our pleasure to serve you on this awesome day. Brother Wright, the dealing with the black baby boomers, the journey from the N-word to African, African American, and hold on before you answer that. We have a caller that wishes to speak. Hold on one moment. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Banks, and your last four digits are 4856. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Apostle Banks. This is Michelle.
Hi, darling. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Good morning to Minister Tabika and to the guest, sir. Good morning to you and to everyone listening. Thank you for sharing all the information. I'm familiar with much of what you're saying because I like history. I'm a history buff, and so I'm always watching the History Channel and other educational programs. So anyway, what I wanted to comment on the statement about the young people, the lack of their attendance in church. This is what my supposition is. I've been just viewing much of the African worship services, and I noticed that the attendance is much higher in the congregation of men as opposed to American churches and young people. And I commented on that to my husband just the other week. I said, you know, I noticed it's, you know, very high attendance of men and the young people. And what I'm thinking is that we have more opportunities over here, more options as far as socially, economically. And so maybe it's just that, you know, that we have more things that we can do or turn to help us, you know, with things we're dealing with. Whereas over there, they have less opportunities. And so they do, you know, I'm thinking maybe they just turn to the church for help. You know, just testimonies that I've heard where people have come to the church to fight against, you know, the witch doctors or those people over there who are dealing in that, they come to the ministers for that protection, for that help. And so I hear a lot of testimonies about that kind of thing. So I don't know, but that's just one of my guesses. Is we just have more options and opportunities over here. And so I'm thinking over there is either they turn to the church or you're turning to, you know, the witch doctors or whatever for protection. Because one of the ministers, I was listening to his service and years ago before he came to the Lord, you know, he said that's what he had did. He turned to, because somebody, one of the radicalists or rebels had threatened him, his life. And so he went to, you know, the neighborhood witch doctor, or whatever you want to call it. But he ended up coming to the Lord and stuff. But I'm thinking that's what it is, you know, that may be a reason of what it is. We just have more options and things to turn to over here than they do.
Okay. Now, may I also thank you so much, Michelle, for your comment. Thank you so much. And as you were speaking, another thing that was being dropped in my spirit, the fact that, wait a minute, Brother Wright, could you for one moment, beloved, could you mute your phone for one moment, and then we'll bring
okay.
you back in. Okay.
Okay.
I'll call you back in. All right, just mute your phone.
Okay, all right.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Another thing that dropped in my spirit, Michelle, while you were speaking, in the African churches, you have more male presence and children than we do in our American culture. And one of the things that I found, or so this is what, like I said, dropped in my spirit, is the fact that the black male in Africa has more influence, still has a great influence over his family, over, you know, the family structure. The black males are involved in the family, the children honoring their mother and their father. So the black male's presence, and remember in Africa as well, a lot of them knowing their history, okay, knowing that they come from greatness, knowing that they are leaders and so forth and so on. And in America, there has been such a great breakdown of the black family. So we don't have the black men leading their families as it was originally designed by God for it to be done. We don't have the black males leading the family. Therefore, the children, you know, rebelling against parents and so forth and authority and so forth. You know, we have a lot of this happening. And the reverence, respect for the family unit is not as prominent here as it is in other countries. And that's what dropped in my spirit. Now, I'm going to return to the historian and ask his opinion about what you and I are saying, but definitely the fact that in Africa they had witch doctors and witchcraft and all that they could fall back onto. They come here to America, they're seeking out God. And listen, last week we spoke about the book Pre-Slavery Christianity. Pre-slavery Christianity, Africans did not come to America and found Christ here in America. They knew about God in Africa, not just witch doctors. They knew about God. They served God and so forth. But again, the history of it is different than what we know and what we are getting now. The black presence in the Bible is so very prominent. And when we look at the Bible through our European eyes, through the eyes of the Europeans, that's not the picture that we get. So our presence in the Bible was so strong, so vivid, so there, you know, and it's something that was hushed, quieted down, and made it look like what people call now the white man's religion. Brother Wright, come back in with us, sir. Come back in and ask your thoughts.
I'm back.
All right.
I'm back.
Okay. So what were your thoughts about some of the statements that have been made?
Well, I'm a Mason. So when the young lady said something about men attending church, one of the things that we do as Masons, we attend church. And the pastor at St. Luke's United Methodist Church, when I spoke there as a lay speaker, she was so impressed that the turnout of men was so great. They turned out in numbers because they're my brothers. And I was impressed at the fact that she says a lot of men come to church. Yep, that's something that that I've all my life, men being in church.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to hear that. I love to hear that men are attending church.
Mm-hmm. Well, now. Well, when you say that you love hearing that, and that's something that you see, you see that with the Masons, you know, that. But if you if you look at churches where the Masonic Lodge does not have a major presence in, you will find that the congregation is the majority of the people in the congregation are women. And
You're right.
Yeah, absolutely. And now just the way we're saying that the ministers, when you and I were coming up, the ministers were in the community, the pastors, they were in the community. And the Masonic Lodge, the Masonic Lodge and the sororities, not sororities, the fraternities that are in the colleges and so forth and so on, they have such great influence on young people or the male presence, okay? They have such a great influence on them. So then what is the possibility that that they need to be more present in the community, you know, not just on the jobs where you show your Masonic ring, okay?
And I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. And believe me, there are movements in the Masonic in the Prince Hall Masonry to work with young people. We have a, it's called a KOP, and it's a nonprofit organization that deals specifically with young men. Because young men, and I say this in my books, that young men are, it's almost like we're targets. Young black men are targets. They're having a rough time making it. You look at the correctional system. I've worked in the correctional system for years. 75 to 80% of the men in correctional facilities are African American. 75 to 80%. Now that's birth control. Black men 18 to 35 in their prime years of reproducing, you know, the Bible says go forth and multiply. They can't multiply if they're in jail. They're in 18 to 35, make up 70% of the men in prison. They can't multiply, and they can't vote. Two things that are being restricted. Now, in Florida, they've changed the law so that convicted felons, if you've been released and if you've done your you know, you paid your debt to society, you can now vote. So that's gonna increase the voting in those states. That allow us, because it's mostly us, to vote now. So I think that's going to have an impact on the elections in Florida from now on. You know, you go to states, just go to states like North Dakota, South Dakota, where the population of African Americans is slim. But you go to their prisons, and we're in their jail. You got African Americans in jail in South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, you know, places where you don't see blacks in large numbers. But if you go to their jails, we make up large numbers.
Right. So, you know,
talk about that. We're not talking about that. You don't see that on CNN and MSNBC. They're not talking about that. But you need people like you and I who are realists. We see the reality of the situation. But our our leaders. See, when we had the Martin Luther Kings, they would bring that to everybody's attention, you know. But we don't have our African-American leaders bringing that to the attention of America.
Mm-hmm,
we're
mm-hmm.
still being treated equally. Now, you were about to talk about the black baby boomer, and that is my latest, and that's about me. The black baby boomer is about me. I've journeyed from the N-word to African-American. When I started out
mm-hmm.
in school, we were colored. We went from colored to Negro. You know, Negro to Afro-American. You know, we started as the N-word. You know, when we were in slavery, we were the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
We've taken a journey in America from being the N-word to African-American. And I've gone through that journey in my 71 years. I mean, when I started in junior high school, we were the first class to integrate. There were times when I thought my name was the N-word. I was called it so often.
Mm-hmm.
And it has changed. There has been changes, but there needs to be more changes, more education. And I love the fact that you took the time from in your program today to discuss black history. And I appreciate that opportunity.
Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Could you, for me, in the short time that we have left, could you please explain your title, No Land, No Mule, No Freedom? You know, again,
okay.
You know, we have a large age range here. So share with us what that is.
No Land, No Mule, No Freedom. Comes from when General Sherman marched to the sea in the Civil War, and he freed
uh-huh.
over 400,000, over 400,000 slaves, and he gave them 40 acres of land and an old army mule. So that's where the 40 acres and a mule came from. But
right,
the problem with that is that as soon as the war was over, President Andrew Jackson took back the land and gave it back to the Confederate soldiers who were returning home from the war. We didn't keep the land. We didn't keep the mule. And to this day, we still haven't achieved the freedom. The importance of that is that had we been able to keep that land, see, land is a valuable commodity.
Mm-hmm.
We would have been entrepreneurs. There would be more Oprahs, you know, in the world today if we'd have been able to keep the land. But we weren't able to. They took it back. And that's where the No Land, No Mule, and No Freedom came from.
Okay. All righty. Because I do remember, coming up and hearing people in conversations talk about they wanted the 40 acres and a mule. They wanted the 40 acres and a mule. They wanted it back. And I do remember that so clearly.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Yes, they did.
Amen. Well, listen, folks, brother, mute yourself one more time. Mute yourself. Okay, thank you. Again, folks, this is Apostle Etta Banks, and we're here today on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And Brother Wright, please mute your phone. Oh, wait a minute, I can mute you from here. Okay. We here today on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter, and our guest today has been Brother James S. Wright, and he is the author of four books that he is the author of, the first one being American Apartheid, the second one, No Land, No Mule, No Freedom. The third one is Life on the Backside of Sports Kings. The fourth one is The Black Baby Boomer. And presently he is, I'll let him share exactly where he is. He is doing a book signing today. And so we'll let him share that and also information where you can contact him to be a speaker, whether it's at your church or at your school, a community event. We encourage you to let this young man, 72 years old, young at heart, you can hear it in his voice, excuse me, let him come and share of the history that he so much has lived and has researched. One moment, please.
And that's what I do with my book.
Okay, all righty. Excuse me.
That's me too.
In the very short time that we have, tell us where you are today, where they can get, you know, see you and get a book from you today, and also how they can get in touch with you.
Okay, I am down at the Pennsylvania Avenue Market. They can reach me online at writejs6304@comcast.net. My books can be purchased at any bookstore. All you have to do is go in and ask for author James S. Wright, and they will order my books. You can reach me. Amazon has my books on sale. BarnesandNobles.com, IngramSparks.com. There are many, 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 many ways to get my book. But today I'm down at the Avenue Market. Anybody who is listening, like they say on The Price is Right, come on down.
Amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. Well, Brother Wright, our time has come to an end. Saints of God, we do thank you so much for joining us, Minister Tabika and myself, for joining us today here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. We encourage you to come back again next Sunday, where our speaker for next Sunday will be Mr. Ray Banks. No, he's not related to this Banks, but Ray Banks, who heads up the Negro Baseball League Museum in Columbia, Maryland, and he and Sister Eleanor, who dealt with the women in the sports of the baseball, and him giving us the history of what we went through and our walk in becoming baseball players and the things that we had to go through. So please, I encourage you to get back here next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And as always, this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Take care. God bless you. Thank you once again, sir, for your sharing with us on today. We really appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.